Well, amen. Praise the Lord. I've really enjoyed actually being outside, but it is nice to be back in the church building. Even if we do have to kind of, you know, wear masks and do our best not to shake hands and all those things. But praise God that we have a place that we can come outside the rain, right? So I'm going to ask Lauren Reed if she'll come up. I've got a couple announcements. She's going to handle the second one. The first one is, before we get started, is that I want you guys to be praying for my brother in Christ, Gary Osteen. He's going to be here next week bringing the message. And anybody who's ever prepared a message or prepared to preach God's word, you know, it's a burden, and that sounds wrong, but it's a good burden. But it's a burden. It stays on you all week. You're thinking about, what am I going to preach, God? What do you want me to preach? So I just ask that you'll be praying for Gary this week as he's preparing to listen to what God wants him not only to receive in his life, but to preach and to share with you guys, right? So our second announcement, I'm going to let Lauren come on up and handle that, even though she probably doesn't want to. But yes, up. You got to come all the way up. So.
All right. So as many of you know, Favana County Schools is going all virtual as of Wednesday. And it's going to present a lot of challenges for our teachers, and especially for students and parents. And not coming to school means not eating for some kids, even though the county is feeding kids with free and reduced lunch, two meals a day for 5 days a week. They can come pick it up, but you have to go pick it up at the high school. It was just really heavy on my heart on Thursday morning after the school board meeting. I woke up and the first thing I did was text these two, and I was like, what can we do? Because we can do it here at this church. So what we've decided is we're going to do, and there's a list in your bulletin. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but it's called God's Got Your Back Pack. We found it on Pinterest. We didn't come up with it.
We like that name.
We thought it was cool. But I have a flyer. I have extra ones if you want to put them up around the county. But it's going to be a ministry that we're going to do here called God's Got Your Backpack. And it's a drive-through event to make it comfortable for everybody. What we're going to do is set up kind of like Kaya. And people are going to come in this way. We've ordered backpacks that have our church logo, and I printed it out. I don't know if you can see it from far away, but they're just little blue drawstring backpacks, and it says God's Got Your Backpack down here with our logo, and we're going to drive to one station, give them a backpack. It's going to be pre-filled with some church information. Drive to the next station, get basic school supplies, which is what we're asking for from this list, and then the next station, drive and get some snacks, because though the county is feeding them kids some lunches and some breakfast, I think, they don't have snacks to eat throughout the day. Can you imagine just sitting in front of a computer all day and not eating? I can't, because I get hungry all the time. So just basic snacks, prepackaged snacks, not stuff that we make just for safety reasons, and then fresh fruit, but we ask you hold off on that until the 4th or the 5th so that we can give them fresh fruit on that day. And then we're going to have like a popcorn prayer station at the end where we're going to give them some popcorn and then pray over their backpack and pray over their school year and hope that it just stays virtual for the first 9 weeks, because it's going to be hard for all of us. The main thing we need is prayer for everybody involved, because it's a huge change for all of us, and we can do it. We just need prayers to do it. So if you are so willing, please give anything that you want to off of this list. Monetary donations are going to be accepted, and Jenny and I are going to go buy anything we need while Danny and Anthony watch the kids. So it may be a whole day event if we have to. So thank you guys.
Just because we stay home with the kids doesn't mean we necessarily are watching, right? I mean that's how I roll anyways. We'll probably watch a game or something, and the kids will watch themselves. But either way, it's for the Lord, so He'll protect them and He'll watch out for them. So we were really upset that we couldn't. Right now, our team over the last couple years, you know, we would on the calendar, we would have been in Zimbabwe right now. Like, we'd have had a team on the ground with the money that we budget for missions. We would have a team from this church in Africa right now as we speak. And you know, because of this whole COVID mess, we can't do that. And so we've been trying to kind of, you know, think like, what can we still do? Like, there's still, we still should do something. Like, we can do something in our community. And so when Lauren had that on her heart and she, you know, reached out to us, we were just like, that's perfect. And so I know this church always gets behind the Lord's work and mission. And so if there's something you can get off of this list that you can bring, get with T during the week. She's here during the week in the office. Drop them off. We can store it in my office. That's fine. And we'll do it. So thank you for that, Lauren. So Matthew chapter 8, if you want to get your Bibles, we're going to start there. We're going to be in verse 23, verse where we're going to start off this morning. If you remember the last week, we asked ourselves, and I was asking you and asking myself as well, am I attracted to Jesus? Am I attracted to Jesus or am I devoted to him? So it's like, do I just want to be kind of near him? Do I just want what I can get from him? Or am I really devoted to Jesus? We saw actually Jesus was asking that to us himself. And we saw that many people were attracted to Jesus. Many people were attracted, but not, you know, a lot of people wanted him to heal them. He wanted him to fix their problems. He just was naturally like a cool guy. I mean, he was doing miracles and all these things. People wanted to be around him. But were they really willing to follow him? We even talked about how we make all kinds of excuses of why we can't do what Jesus asked us to do, right? Christians are sometimes the worst. Well, Lord, we even talked about it. Lord will say, well, I'll pray about it, God. You know, I know you're asking me, but I'll pray and ask you if I should do what you're asking me to do. Doesn't make any sense. But see, this kind of response, what it does is it reveals the lack of trust that I have in Jesus. When we have that kind of response to when Jesus asks us to do something, it really reveals our lack of trust in him. We saw last week, we saw the crowd, they just wanted what Jesus could do for them. Whatever they needed him for is what they wanted him for. But they weren't really willing to follow him. The teacher of religious law wasn't really to give up his traditions and maybe his position in the church or whatever it was. And then the so-called disciple wasn't willing to give up his inheritance to follow Jesus. He said, let me go home and take care of my father. Let me bury him. Let me get what I can get out of that situation. Let me take care of my situation, and then I'll follow you. Well, today we're going to see what those who hesitated really missed out on. We're going to keep on going through the book of Matthew. So those, all those people that refused to follow Jesus and that hesitated, what did they miss out on? That's what we're going to read today. But we're also going to see what a true disciple, what they can expect when they follow Jesus. What can you expect when you follow and you say, you know what, I'm committing, I'm following Jesus. So let's read Matthew chapter 8, verse 23, and we're going to stop at verse 27. It says this, Jesus calms the storm. Then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. I love that. He's just down there taking a nap. Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up shouting, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. Jesus responded, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. Then he got up, rebuked the wind and waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. Who is this man? They asked. Even the wind and the waves obey him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we just thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your scripture. We thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, I thank you what the reading of your word, Lord, has done in my life. Lord, I just thank you personally for that. And Lord, I just pray that same transformation that I experience every time I open your word, Lord, will go to work today and that we will allow it to go to work in our old hardened hearts and that we'll just stop for a little while and put aside all the craziness in the world. Put aside the distractions right there. Put it aside and let us focus on you today. In Jesus' name, amen. That was the devil leaving, by the way. And you can stay out. He can stay out in the name of Jesus. Some might ask this question. What was the purpose of this experience of what we just read? What was the purpose of these disciples having to go through this? Why was the storm allowed to arise in the sea when Jesus Christ himself is aboard? So here's the Son of God, the perfect man who was God himself on a boat. Why would God allow for a storm to arise when he's on the boat? Well, the answer, I believe, to those questions are found right in verse 27, if you go down to the end of the passage. It says, the disciples were amazed. Who is this man, they asked. Even the winds and the waves obey him. You see, just like we heard the testimonies of the last few weeks of those who rededicate their life, those new believers who dedicate their life to Christ, when people see what Jesus can and will do in our life, they should be amazed, and they will be amazed if we really follow Him and we really trust and obey Him and we follow His will for our life. They will be amazed, hopefully, to the point where it leads them to also follow Jesus. Look at verse 23. Let's go right back to the top like we always do. It says this, then Jesus got into the boat, started across the lake with his disciples. Here we see a basic fact right here in the first verse. True disciples follow Christ no matter what. No matter what he asks them to do, they say, here I am, I'm going. What do you need? Okay, I'm getting in the boat. True disciples get in the boat this morning. A true disciple, when Jesus calls, they say, okay, I'm getting in the boat. And I don't know where we're going, but I'm going with you. We don't see Matthew recording that there were other boats following them. Okay, there was no lifeboat. There was no life jackets. There was no people swimming behind saying, wait, there's no room on the boat. I want to go with you. All those people that followed Jesus down to the shore, all the crowd of those people, but just a few were willing and trusted enough to get in the boat and go. The rest of them chose to stay where it was comfortable and safe. I can just imagine them watching the disciples sail off into the sunset with Jesus, wondering what it would be like to have that kind of faith. Wondering, saying, man, I really wanted to do that, but I didn't have the faith. Have you ever felt that way when you see someone else living by faith and you say, man, I wish I had that. I wish I really had the nerve or the faith or the trust in Jesus to do what that person is doing. To me, it reminds me of a seventh grade dance. Anybody ever been to like a middle school dance? All right. Am I the only one? Okay. Some of y'all probably can't remember back to middle school. I don't know. But I remember middle school. I remember it. It was an awkward time in my life. And I remember I was noticing girls and I was attracted to girls and I liked some girls. I'd say, oh, man, she's pretty. Not as pretty as Jenny, but they were pretty. All right. And I remember going to the dance. Man, I had my hair gelled up or whatever, you know, looked like Justin Bieber. And I'm going there and I'm like wanting to see the girl that I like and I'm hoping to see her. But you know what I did the whole time during the dance? I stood in the corner with my friends who were guys. And I stood there and I watched the other guy dance with the girl that I liked because I didn't have the nerve to go up and ask her to dance. That's many of us today with our walk with Jesus. Think about it. I know that's kind of funny, but think about that feeling. I remember that feeling thinking, going home and being like, man, I missed the boat. I missed the opportunity. Like she even looked at me once. She might have been looking at the soda machine behind me, but either way, she was looking my direction. I missed the opportunity. We want to follow Jesus, but we stop at the point where He calls us to go a little deeper, where we have to put ourselves out there and we have to step out and say, okay, God, this doesn't make sense. I'm getting in the boat. That's where we stop. And we say, no, I'll just stay here on the shore with everybody else. We know what Jesus tells us. We know what the Bible tells us. We know what Jesus, that He can take care of us. We see it. We read it all the time in the Scriptures. We see where He heals people. He overcame the grave. But yet, do we have the faith to actually follow Him where He's leading us? We stand there wishing we had the faith too often, wondering what it would be like to really be like to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Many people waste their life wondering what it would be like to be a true disciple. A true disciple follows Jesus. They don't just stand there wondering. They actually say, okay, let's get in the boat. And they get in the boat and they follow Jesus. Look with me at verse 24. So here they go. They get on the boat and they're heading out into the storm and out into the sea. And look what it says. Suddenly, as soon as they get in the boat, it doesn't say 3 hours later. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. You know what those who stayed behind were probably thinking when they were at home and they heard that storm coming? Or maybe when they were still at the beach watching them go off and they heard the thunder and they saw the dark clouds coming in. I can just hear them saying, boy, And I almost got in the boat with him. I sure am glad I didn't follow that Jesus. I told you they were crazy. I told you. Sometimes we either think that someone who steps out on faith and actually follows Jesus, no matter what they do, we either think one of two things. We think they're plumb crazy, right? Or we find ourselves thinking that maybe they're supernatural, or they're some kind of super Christian. I could never be like them because, Billy Graham is on another level than that I am. Or whoever is on another level, or one person in the church is more of a Christian than me. We get it caught in that trap. These guys were neither of those. They simply said, "Here I am, Lord, send me." That's all they said. They said, "Lord, here I am, and I'm willing to go." So if these guys were obedient and they were following Jesus, why would they have to experience such a trial? Why would they have to experience such a storm in their life? This was no joke. A storm is a scary and a powerful thing. But a storm when you are on the water, out in the middle of the water on a boat, it doesn't matter how big the boat is, it suddenly becomes really small when there's a storm coming. And when you're in the middle of a storm, especially when the waves are crashing over into the boat. I don't know if you know this or not, but the Sea of Galilee is only about 13 miles long and it's 8 miles wide. It's not that big of a sea, but it's known for violent storms sweeping in unexpectedly. Kind of like the James River here. Has anybody ever been on the James River and seen how, and noticed even when we're here and you notice the storm kind of follows the rivers? Have you ever noticed that? The youth group got to experience a little bit of this fear a couple weeks ago when we went tubing, right? Right, ladies? I got in a little bit of trouble over that. I left them behind. I was like, "Good luck. I'm headed to the," we were tubing, and I'm like, I'm getting out down here. I know where the landing is. And I was like, I'm headed in. They ended up climbing the bank. Jenny had mud all over, carrying the tubes. It was bad, but she still loves me. But anyways, Corbin was kind of teasing the teenagers, and he said, "Hey guys," he's like, me and him were just like, he didn't worry at all. I'm kind of like acting cool, but I'm like, that's a pretty big bolt of lightning and it's coming in our way, and we're in inner tubes. And I'm also thinking like, oh God, please don't let somebody else's kid die while they're under my control, Corbin says, guys, this is a good opportunity for you to exercise your prayer life. And we were kind of joking around, but he was exactly right. See, the storms of life can come and just in, they can come to us and come and attack us, and they can come over top of us and they can overwhelm us just as unexpectedly as a storm can on the James River, or if we're in the boat with Jesus in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. The storms of life can hit us just as hard as this storm that hit the disciples. So if we're going to experience trials, if we're going to experience storms in life, why follow Jesus? What's the point of following Jesus if we're still going to have to deal with all that? Well, I'd put it to you like this, and I thought about it this week and I prayed about it like this. A real Christ follower would rather be in a violent storm with Jesus. All right, listen to me this morning. A real Christian, a real Christ follower would rather be in a violent storm in the middle of the sea in a little boat, waves crashing over into the boat, and they would be with Jesus, than to experience the sound of thunder in the distance without Him. Are y'all with me this morning? Again, I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to be some kind of super Christian to follow Jesus. These guys were experienced fishermen. Okay, they spent their living, they spent every day, sometimes most of the time it was in the middle of the night, out on the water, out on the sea. Yet here they were, scared to death and feeling hopeless. There was nothing supernatural about these guys. They were on the same boat with Jesus himself, and yet they were desperately trying to overcome the storm by themselves. And the whole time, Jesus was there just taking a nap. He wasn't worried in the least, was he? He wasn't worried about that storm. Isn't this how we act so often? We have Jesus right there with us the whole time while we're scrambling around and we're anxiety and we can't sleep at night and we're worried to death. And Jesus is right there at our beck and call. And he's not worried one bit. But when the storm hits, we hit the panic button. We freak out. I do. I know that. We could have a Holy Ghost party up in here on Sunday morning, right? The windows could shatter in this place because the Holy Spirit was so heavy in here. And Monday morning when the storm hits, what are we going to do? We're going to freak out. And we're going to hit the panic button. And we're going to say, oh my gosh, oh, you know, what do I do? Where are you now, God? But guess what? Jesus is always there. God's got your backpack, right? He's just waiting on us to stop trying to fight the storm by ourselves and call upon Him. John 16, verse 33 says this, and most of us have probably heard this before. It says, I've told you all this. This is Jesus talking. I've told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. You see, Jesus can not only overcome your trials and your storms. Listen this morning. Jesus can not only can He and will He overcome the storms and the trials in your life, but He will also give you the peace to make it through the storm while you're going through it. He never promised to deliver you from every trial. He told us what? He said, you will have trials. You will have storms in your life. But in Him, we can have peace. Look at verse 25. The disciples went and woke Him up shouting, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. I can just imagine them like picturing all the things that Jesus had done, right? And they're thinking like, why is He sleeping? Like, you know, we're getting ready to die. So why didn't the disciples wake up Jesus earlier? Why didn't they go to Him as soon as the storm started coming? Why didn't they go to Jesus then and wake Him up? You want to know why? It's one word. It's called pride. Pride. Remember, they were experienced boaters. They were experienced men of the sea. But pride kept them from calling upon the Lord. One time, me and Jenny were on the James River. We have a bad track record, if you're going to figure that out. I had a little John boat when we were dating. I had a little 14-foot John boat with like a little 5-horsepower Johnson, little pull start engine, you know, and it would barely get you back upstream. Like it would go, but it was just like, you know, like at like 1/10 of a knot, you know, you're like going up the stream, you know, barely going up. And so we went in Scottsville and we put in the river and we floated down and we were fishing, and here comes this thunderstorm. And she's, you know, hadn't really been out on the James River at all, really much. Probably not at all at that point in her life. And I'm acting like I really know what I'm doing, which I really don't. But I grew up on the river or whatever. And she says, we should probably head back. Like, it looks like a storm's coming. And I said, no. It started drizzling a little bit. I said, honey, girl, this is just a little James River rain. That's exactly what I said. I said, oh, this is just a little bit of James River rain. So then it really starts to rain a little more, and then it starts thundering a little bit. And I said, girl, you ain't ever seen a good rain. She's like, we really ought to head back. I said, girl, you ain't. This is just a little rain. It ain't going to hurt us. And this is the part where the sky opens up. And I'm not making this up, guys, okay? And it rained so hard, and it lightened and thundered, and it rained so hard, I could not see in front of me to figure out which way the river was flowing, which way we needed to get back to the boat landing. Here we are going 0.1 knots up the river in a 14-foot John boat that's filling up with water in a motor that doesn't even go fast downstream, trying to go back upstream. And I'm trying to play it cool, but Jenny knew the situation was totally out of control. She knew it. It was totally out of control. We got a little bit wet that day. And I can just hear the disciples saying, oh, we got that. It's just a little storm. We've experienced this before. Don't worry about it. It's all right. We can handle it. That's what I said that day. I can handle it. It's all right. Don't chill out, girl. I got this. You're with your man. I got this. Yeah. I don't know what that's all. I don't know what that says about you, Jenny. Still married to me. But you know what? Here these men were experienced boaters. They were out on the sea every single day. And they found themselves out of control. Out of control in a situation where they probably thought, oh, we got this. Scared to death. Panic had fully set in. They thought they were going to die. We just read it in there. They thought they were going to drown. They tried and they tried to handle the situation themselves. How many times do we try and we try to handle our situation all by ourselves? Oh, I can't ask for help. I can't go to the pastor. I can't go to my deacon. I can't go to my friend who's a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ. I need to handle this myself. I don't want them to think that I'm vulnerable. I got this. I can handle it. I've been a Christian for years. I got this. But see, life was out of control and they got humbled real quick. God has a way of keeping us humble. I don't know about y'all, but He has a way of keeping me humble. Doesn't He? God humbles me every time Jenny tells that story of me and her on the river. It goes right back to, I'm like, okay, yeah, here comes the story again. I figured I'd beat her to the punch and I would just tell it today. But seriously, following Christ is like, it's a life of learning to trust Jesus more and more. That's what it is. Following Christ doesn't mean you say, I'm a Christ follower, I'm perfect from here on out, I'm never going to make a mistake, I'm never going to deal with a trial again. No, it's a every day that you wake up learning to trust more and more in who Jesus is and what he can do in your life. These disciples were learning to follow Christ, just like you and me every day are learning to follow and trust in Jesus Christ. So what did they finally do? They called on the name of the Lord. And he saved them. It's that simple. It always goes back to that. They called on the Lord to save them. They broke through their pride. They came to Jesus. And this is when Jesus really goes to work in our life. When we just stop trying to fight him and we stop trying to fight on our own and we go to Jesus. If you want Jesus to work in your life, if you want God to work in your life, you know what you need to do? You need to get out of his way. That's what you need to do. That's what I need to do. Whenever God, and he's not speaking to me or whatever, I need to get out of his way and just say, God, what do you want to tell me? What do you want me to do? Dwayne tells me all the time, he says, God's got you in the sweet spot, brother. Just don't screw it up. Am I right, Dwayne? He tells me that all the time. He says that we have a good service, or I tell him something that God has done. I call him up and I tell him, like, man, guess what, or whatever. God's got you in the sweet spot. Just don't mess it up. See, when all of me gets out of the way and I fully call upon Jesus to take control of my life, this is when God goes to work. Jeremiah 29:13 says this, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. Psalm 105 verse 4 says this, search for the Lord and his strength. Continuously seek him. It's not a one-time thing. It's a continuously. Until the day that we are standing in glory, all right, proclaiming the name of Jesus in heaven and our perfect body, we're going to have to continuously seek him and his strength. Search for the Lord with all your heart. When we cry out, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. I'm drowning here. Whatever it is you're drowning in, Lord, save me. He will respond. Look at verse 26 back in Matthew 8. Jesus responded. Why are you afraid? He asked. Why are you afraid? You have so little faith. Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. So here's Jesus, deep into his nap. You know what? It doesn't say this in the Bible, but you know what I picture Jesus doing? I picture him acting like he's sleeping. All right. Now, he might have really been sleeping, but I picture him just kind of being like, like one eye open, you know, like, let's see how they handle this. You know, I think he does that a lot in my life. He's laying there and I think he's sleeping, but he's saying, all right, Anthony, you've tried this before. Let's see how he handles it. I remember when I had driver's ed when I was, 15, 16 years old. I don't know if anybody else had Miss Skeen. I got to give a shout out to Miss Skeen. She was awesome. She was my driver's ed teacher behind the wheel. And I remember riding with her in this old like Cutlass car that we had that Fluvanna County had. And we're driving up the road, and I remember her acting like she went to sleep for a while, okay? And I remember thinking, like, man, is she really asleep? Like, you know, and I look over, and I notice, like, she's looking. You know, she's going to see what I was going to do if I thought she was sleeping. Little did she know, I was getting ready to turn the radio up and start speeding, but I saw that she was still watching. See, the disciples, they wake him up, and they're probably yelling at him. They've got exclamation points, and he's saying, wake up, man, what is going on? Why are you sleeping? And Jesus wakes up and he looks around and he asks this question. Why are you afraid? This morning, I feel like Jesus is asking somebody this morning, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? You've got the King of Kings on your side. You're a child of God. The one that overcame the grave, okay, is on your side, living in you. His Spirit dwells in you. Why are we afraid this morning? You see, what we think is a big storm, it's absolutely nothing for Jesus. He sleeps through it. Nothing. Doesn't worry him one bit. Jesus didn't wake up and he didn't start freaking out going, oh my gosh, why didn't you wake me up sooner? He didn't start scooping water out, freaking out, did he? Why are you afraid, he asked. Why in the world are you afraid? Did you forget who you were with tonight on this boat? Did you forget? Why are you afraid? The disciples, they were going through two human experiences that we all experience. But I believe that they were only aware of one. Right here in the middle of this, I believe they were going through two experiences, but they only were aware of one. Number one was this. They were gripped with fear. Has anybody ever been gripped with fear before? Anxiety, whatever it is? Am I the only one? They were gripped with fear, and they knew they were experiencing that. But what they didn't realize that they were experiencing is what it feels like to have little faith. What it feels like to have little faith is what they were experiencing. Jesus said, "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." You see, although they were willing to get in the boat, their total trust was still lacking a little bit. Has anybody ever felt like that? Well, I go to church, I'm a Christian, I'm trying to do what God said, but I'm still lacking. I'm like that. I'm like that all the time. I said, "God, how in the world do you let me be a pastor? Like, are you going to smack me one day and say, you weren't supposed to be a pastor? I have all the doubts that everybody else deals with." So often we can beat up on ourselves and we let fear creep in and we feel like somehow we're less of a Christian or whatever. And even when we look at the other Christians, so sometimes we compare ourselves. Well, how do they have it so well? Look at the pastor. He has it all together. If you only knew. If you only knew. But what we need to remember is this. Jesus was not upset because the disciples woke him up. He wasn't upset because they called upon his name. He was upset and disappointed at their lack of faith. So when you feel like fear is gripping you and it's taken over your life, when you feel like everything in the world is out of control, when you feel totally helpless, when you feel overcome by life's storms, we simply follow the example of what the disciples did that night on the boat. We cry out to Jesus. It's that simple. Over and over and over again, when we find ourselves there, we cry out to the Lord. And when we think our situation seems hopeless, we just remember this. Just like we sang a little while ago, the waves and the wind, guess what? They still know his name. They still know who controls them. Jesus rebuked the storm and it was gone. It didn't hesitate. It was gone. It was out of there. He didn't rebuke the disciples for coming to him. He didn't say, "Why are you bothering me? I'm sleeping." He rebuked the storm and it was gone. They obeyed him. This is what amazed the men. This is what made them say, "Who is this man? Who is this? That even the wind and the waves obey him." Verse 27, it says exactly that. It says the disciples were amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked. "Even the winds and waves obey him." As we close, I want to give you this, and I want to leave us with this. So often we get discouraged in life, and we find ourselves in the storm. We find ourselves in the middle of the sea, and we feel like the waves are crashing over us, and we're going to die. Whether it be worry, whether it be doubt, whether it be a physical sickness, whatever it is, some kind of trial, financial problems, addictions, it goes on and on and on. But think about it this morning. Really think about it and put it in perspective. The storms are going to be there in life regardless, right? Storms are going to be there. We're going to deal with trial. We're going to deal with sickness. We're going to deal with things that are going to worry us. We should just expect them. I remember when the kids were little and my truck would break down and Jenny's van would go in the shop and we were like struggling. What am I going to do? We get everything fixed and then we get a little extra money in our pocket and then something else goes. The AC quits working and then we got that and then something else. And I learned after fighting and fighting and fighting and being so beat down by the trials, I learned just to expect them and just say, "All right, got that fixed. We got $20 extra this week. Where's that going to go?" And you learn just to expect things like that in the world. But the good news is that we don't have to go through these trials alone, right? We don't have to go through them with no hope in life. Again, I would rather be in the most fierce storm with my Savior Jesus Christ than to be standing on the shore refusing to follow him, watching the others who had the faith to go and follow him. Because if we're not willing to follow Jesus, even through the middle of the storm, if we're not willing to follow and get on the boat and take and go where he's leading us because we're worried about the storm that may be there, we're going to miss out on watching the miracle that Jesus wants to do in our life. We're going to miss out on the miracle that Jesus has for you. You're going to miss out. I'm going to miss out. If I say, "Jesus, I don't want to follow you over there because I don't know how that's going to end up." He'll let you do that. But you know what? Imagine if the disciples avoided that storm. Imagine if they'd have stayed on the shore. They would have missed the opportunity to see the miracle of Jesus rebuking the wind, the waves, and it just stopping. They would have missed the miracle that Jesus had in store for them. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, we know this. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when trouble of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Now, people listening who aren't a believer, they say, "Man, that doesn't make any sense. I'm supposed to be happy because trials and troubles are coming my way." But James goes on to say this. He says, "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." See, those disciples, their endurance grew that night. And their faith grew that night because they went through the trial with Jesus and they saw him do a miracle. So I ask you this morning, what miracle are you missing out on by refusing to get in the boat with Jesus this morning? It doesn't matter if you're a first-time believer. It doesn't matter whether Jesus is calling you a little bit deeper into the relationship with him. It doesn't matter if Jesus maybe is calling you to step out into a new ministry or to go talk to somebody, whatever it is, to go pray with people. Maybe to put some of the gifts that he's given you, put them to work for his glory and for his kingdom. What storm have you been fighting all by yourself that it's time for you to just say, "Lord, I need your help this morning. Lord, I need you. Lord, you are great and I need your help. Come save me. I've tried to fight this. It doesn't matter whether I'm fighting peace of heart. It doesn't matter whether I'm fighting a physical storm or trial in my life. I'm tired of fighting by myself." If God is calling you this morning and that's you, and you're just tired of fighting, maybe you're in the middle of a trial right now and you don't want to come pray, you can pray by yourself. You can pray where you are. I'll be glad to pray with you. If the Lord is calling you this morning, come as we sing. Come as we sing.